You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Central Illinois Republican Congressman Darren LaHood has requested $700,000 from Congress to help OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington build a family practice residency program. LaHood tells Eric Stock the process to seek the money is more transparent than congressional earmarks used to be. He says the program is vital to help the region recruit more doctors.
The medical practice and the medical field here in Bloomington Normal continues to grow, and St. Joe's continues to expand into different areas. And when we look at this residency program and what this will mean to creating doctors right here in the residency that will stay in the community, we believe it'll have an economic impact, and we believe it's taxpayer money well spent in terms of, again, economically building on the medical success that they've had here at St. Joe's. And then secondly, when you hear about this physician shortage in getting people to downstate Illinois, this helps to remedy that. And so we believe it makes a lot of sense.
Looking at the COVID-19 response now, vaccination rates have more or less leveled off at about 40% here locally and across the state. How concerned are you by that?
I continue to be concerned. Obviously, I got my vaccination back in February. I've encouraged people to continue to do that. But what I've also said is don't listen to elected officials. Listen to your own physician. Listen to your medical personnel. Listen to people that are professionals, that you respect their medical advice. That's what people ought to listen to. And I think, the vast majority of them will tell you that you ought to get the vaccine. And I've discouraged people from listening to conspiracy theories or other things that are out there as it relates to the vaccine. It's important. The statistical data shows that, and it's important for the health of this country that people get vaccinated.
There are surveys that have shown Republicans in particular have had a higher hesitancy to get the vaccine. What is your response to Republicans about this?
Well, I would just say in the House of Representatives, I think we're up to 80 or 90% of the House Republicans have been vaccinated. I'm included into that group. I've been having a rural district. There's been some hesitancy in the rural parts of my district. Talk to the people that you have respect for, the people that are in the medical field. Those are the ones that know best and people that follow the science.
If we can shift to infrastructure, how much of the infrastructure bill that the Biden administration has put forth would you support?
Well, I've been a strong supporter of an infrastructure bill since I came to Congress 5+ years ago. Frankly, it's been a deficiency that we haven't been able to do that. And I think we're getting closer in terms of a bipartisan. Obviously, I've been listening and watching the bipartisan negotiations that have gone on, and we're making progress. There has been, compromise on both sides. I think if we can get an agreement around somewhere between $800 billion and $1 trillion, I think that's kind of the sweet spot to get that done. And I think you'll find bipartisan support for that.
What about things like freight, water, broadband, those areas that some of the Republicans have said maybe doesn't count as infrastructure as much?
Well, I think most of us understand the traditional definition of infrastructure: roads, bridges, highways, rail systems, airports, the locks and dams. I would also put broadband in there. That traditionally has been a big part of that. We've seen during COVID there's been a deficiency when it comes to broadband in our rural areas and our urban areas. We saw that on the educational side with kids going out of school and not having good connectivity, really a deficiency in digital there. And so I think infrastructure should be, broadband should be included. However, I don't think the definition of infrastructure is public housing. I don't think it should be healthcare related. I don't think it should be energy projects. I think those can all be things that we deal with separately when it comes to or other projects, but not with infrastructure. I think the traditional definition of infrastructure is what we ought to stick with.
What about paying for all this? Will simply using COVID relief money be enough?
I think, there's a lot of leftover money that we can look at, but we also have to look at, user fees of some type. The federal gas tax hasn't been raised since 1993. That's the traditional way to fund infrastructure. I think looking at vehicle miles traveled, how do you recoup the money from electric vehicles? Upwards to 8% of the vehicles on the road now are electric vehicles. So we got to figure out a way to have some type of user fee there. Also, you pay a user fee when you use the airport. That goes into a fund. We ought to look at other user fees for trains and the locks and dams and airports. But user fees have to be a part of that. Also, public-private partnerships in our urban areas where you have rapid transit systems. Clearly, there's private sector that wants to be involved with that. Municipal financing tools. So I think there's four or five good areas where you can find bipartisan support and find the requisite money to fund infrastructure.
What about a gas tax, even though mileage is down?
Well, listen, the federal gas tax has been the way you fund surface transportation. It hasn't been raised again since 1993. So indexing that is, I think, that something needs to be looked at. But the point that I would make on the federal gas tax is every nickel that gets taken at the pump needs to be put into a lockbox and only spent on infrastructure. You almost have to have a czar when it comes to infrastructure. I think what people are skeptical and dubious of is money that gets put into supposed infrastructure but goes to Washington, D.C. And doesn't get spent on infrastructure because it goes into the unknown. So I think to give people confidence in infrastructure, we have to put it into a lockbox.
Lastly, since we last spoke, the Biden administration announced plans to pull all U.S. troops out of Afghanistan by September 11th. Is 20 years enough?
I have real concerns about the Taliban taking back over Kabul and the rest of Afghanistan, particularly the way that they've treated women and others there. So I have real concerns about that and the gap that's going to be created there. I think we got to still be engaged with our allies there. We got to continue to monitor the situation. And I think until you get some assurances from the Taliban, there are ongoing peace talks that are scheduled to happen in Turkey next month and also in Doha. I think there has to be some assurances there that things aren't going to go back to the way they were when the Taliban ruled 20 years ago. Those type of assurances have to be secured first.
Is it realistic that the Afghan government will be able to contain the Taliban at some point in the future? Should they be expected to be able to do that?
Well, it's unclear at this point, and I think that's why it has a lot of people worried.
That was Congressman Darren LaHood with Eric Stock. LaHood's district includes parts of Bloomington-Normal.